Okay. So we did an overview of prayer, God willing. Somebody can help. I'm happy to, I can use some help getting people to help extract the files that I keep creating every week so that I can put them on our website. And we went through and talked about the format of the prayer. Okay, so it's just as a quick review, there are three prayers, time slots, morning, evening, and night. Each one has their time constraint, so to say. When the morning one is, when the afternoon one is, when it begins and ends, and the evening one, which is why women are typically, as we discussed, not obligated to pray. Nothing wrong with praying. And even women who do pray would typically only pray the morning and afternoon ones because they correspond to a sacrifice that was done in the temple. And the evening one, the night one, was not corresponding to a sacrifice. So that is the most voluntary, so to say. And very few women will say the evening service. Each service, the highlight of each service is the Amidah or Shmoneh Esrei, 18, or the 19 blessings, the 18, which is 19. And that's the focal point of when we are standing literally before. We even go back three steps and go three steps forward in order to place myself in the presence of the King of the universe. It's like Hashem saying, step into my office. You know, then you like back in. So I prepare myself, my virtual office. Like you click into Zoom, we click into our davening. And the Shmoneh Esrei is the focal point. The only difference between in the morning, afternoon, and evening is what is said before and or after this Amidah, this Shmoneh Esrei. So the morning, in the morning when we wake up in the morning, for us it's considered a fresh new day. Technically, in Judaism, the day begins the evening before, but the sun comes up. It has that illusion, so to say, that it's a brand new day, which begins with the sun rising. And therefore, we start anew, we start afresh. We rest, our bodies rest, and then we wake up and we get going with our day. So that's why a lot of the morning prayer, A, it's a little bit longer, B, it takes on a certain way about it to get me started in my day. So the morning is mostly about blessing. Now in general, and I saw this brought down from one of the grand Hasidic rabbis, the Ger Rebbe actually, or Yaeli, that typically we should, in prayer, our prayer should be 60% praise, 40% request. In a general type of scheme, like I need this and I need that. But 60% praise, make sure that we're praising Hashem. Hashem, you're great, Hashem, you're wonderful, you did this, and in gratitude, etc., all that. At least 60%, and my requests, that of what I'm looking for, should be up to 40%. So a lot of the balance, so to say, of the prayer, because the Shmoneh Esrei is really the main part where we get a chance to ask for things that we need, where it talks about our needs. The rest of prayer, the truth is, for the most part, is really about Hashem's greatness. So I want to take you into, in the Sephard on page 20, and in the Ashkenaz on page 18. So at the beginning of the Sidur, the page numbers are going to be close. And it's around the middle of the page. There's some instructions in the middle that if you're praying with a minyan, if you're in shul, that the chazan says it and people answer amen, whatever. These are blessings that really start a person off in the morning. If you recall, one of the areas that I said that if you have a few minutes, and I'm sure everybody has a few minutes, while you're having your coffee or your bowl of Wheaties or whatever, that to say some prayers in the morning, and it's actually from a few pages ahead of this, but again, I just wanted to bring out the general form, on format, the form of prayer. So here is a series of blessings, short blessings. They all begin with the words, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, blessed are you Hashem, our God, King of the Universe, you see the English. And we will go through them just to give you a little bit of an understanding. Again, so this is in the morning. This being in the morning, this meaning that it's my new day and me waking up. So much so that there'll even be a blessing to ask Hashem to help wake me up, as we shall see. Okay, so not to take away from any of the other prayers that precede this page, but let's just talk about the prayers on this page. So the first one, blessed are you Hashem, we'll do it just in the English, either page 19 or 21, middle of the page. Blessed are you Hashem. Stephanie, you found it? You got it? Stephanie, you got it? I want to make sure you got the page. Okay, good. Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the universe, who gave us the heart understanding to distinguish between day and night. So let's do this. Let's go on the right side, on the beneath the line on the Hebrew side, page 18 or 20, where it says, Baruch, blessed. This series of 15 blessings is based on, Brachos is the Talmud, page 60, where the sages teach that as one experiences the phenomena of the new day, he should bless Hashem for providing them. For example, one thanks Hashem for giving a person the crucial ability to make distinctions in life, such as that between day and night, when he rubs his eyes and sees, when he gets dressed, and so on. Some of these phenomena are not so obvious from the text of the blessing. Among them are sitting up, stretching, getting out of bed, standing on the floor, setting out a person's destinations, etc. The next paragraph on the right, in the middle of the next column, Arizal teaches, Arizal is the Kabbalistic master from the 1500s, that each day a righteous person should endeavor to respond to a minimum. Okay, you know, that's getting into something else. Okay, so bottom line is we're going to start out on 15 special blessings to like, right. So the first one is that Hashem gave us the ability, heart, he says in the English, gave us the ability, heart understanding, to distinguish between day and night. Why is that a blessing? What do you think? Why is that a blessing? That we're thanking Hashem to give us who gave us the ability to distinguish between day and night. What would you think?
The use of our brain, of our brain.
Keep going, right?
To distinguish between what light means and darkness in terms of the day.
Good. Very good. So much of the day of what happens in our lives, my friends, is about something that distinguishes one from the next. If you think about it, this is getting a little philosophical here, our lives are really always in a distinguishing mode or making a choice. Or if there's a choice, it means that there's what to distinguish between. If everything is always the same, then there's nothing to distinguish. Is it cloudy or is it sunny? Is it raining? Is it snowing? Is it this or is it that? Is it that or is it this? Should I buy this dress or this suit or that one? I'm distinguishing between this. What are we having for dinner tonight? Well, would you like this? You go to the restaurant. Here's the menu. I need to distinguish what's on the menu. So it's so much about trying to distinguish between our lives are really, should I come to class tonight or should I not come to class tonight? That is also something that we distinguish. Am I home or am I in a hotel or at my friend's house? How do I act? And so many things that we really need to be able to always distinguish so that I know how to behave in any one situation. And the very first thing when I open my eyes is to know, is it daytime or is it nighttime? As I'm sure many of you can relate to, there are plenty of lifestyles not be overly blunt. There are plenty of lifestyles where people do not distinguish between day and night, or sometimes people sleep in. It's like it's 2 in the afternoon. Just waking up. 2 in the afternoon. That's 4 in the afternoon. Yeah, I usually wake up at 4 in the afternoon and I'm up until about 4 a.m. and then I conk out, or 6 a.m. whatever. And sometimes people don't distinguish between day and night. So the first thing that we need to understand is that we have the ability to distinguish between day and night. It's an important thing to do. Sometimes people live a very closed lifestyle. They don't come out of their home, their apartment. Baruch talks about this every so often. And my curtains are closed and I have no idea where I am. I talked about this recently also, that you find in a casino, there is no window in a casino. There are no windows in the casino. The only windows are on the front of the machines. That's the only windows where the numbers are behind, or however it works. But there are no, because they don't want you to know what time it is. They don't want you to know if it's daytime or nighttime. I got to get back to the office. No. They don't want you to know. And the best thing that a person can do for themselves is open a window. As a matter of fact, in Jewish law, it mentions specifically in Jewish law that a person should pray in a synagogue with windows. Obviously, where possible. Every so often, I know that my nephews are praying in Jerusalem. They started a minyan, in the miklat, in the bomb shelter. There are no windows in the bomb, in their apartment building. But that's what they made it. That was an empty room. So to get it started, but there's no question when you pray in a bomb shelter or in a closed room where there's no windows, it's a little gloomy. Not that Hashem can't hear you. It's got nothing to do with Hashem. Hashem is everywhere. But for me, it's my sense of space. And as a human, I like space. So some people, when they don't have the ability to expand beyond day, or don't have the ability to expand beyond night, are very claustrophobic and very introverted. And the best thing a person can do for themselves in the morning, one of the things that you do, you get up, you open the blinds in the morning. I always wondered myself, you know, I see my wife usually does that here. And every day, every morning, blinds open. I come home from shul, and I know when my mother is up, when the blinds are open. She's open, she's usually davening right by the front window. As I come home from shul, I knock on the window. If she's there, say hello through the window. The blinds are up, blinds are down. Blinds are up, blinds are, at nighttime they go down. That, like, isn't that just, you get bored of just like putting them up and down? The answer is no. That's life. That's the new day. That's letting in the sunlight, even when it's cloudy and dreary outside. But it's a new day. And sometimes people don't appreciate that. That's number one. Number two, too many people live in yesterday. Too many people forget today's a new day. L'havchin, to have heart understanding to distinguish between day and night. Yeah, the light was yesterday. Today's day. It's a new day. It doesn't have to be yesterday. As a matter of fact, it won't be yesterday unless I decide that it should be. It could be very different. Oh, but I'm going back to the same job, to the same school, to the same situation. Doesn't matter. Day could be totally different. So sometimes we don't recognize that opportunity to distinguish between day and night. And to me, everything's a blur. That's when a lot of depression, anxiety, a lot of mental health issues set in. So much of mental health can be, I don't know if the word is cured, helped along by reciting this blessing. Hashem, I bless you, Hashem, that who gave the heart understanding to distinguish between day and night. I can tell the difference. I know what's right and wrong. I know what's good and bad. I know what's day and what's night. I know what's too much to eat and too little to eat. I know this is too much cake. This is too much calories, too much fattening, too, whatever. I can distinguish. The ability to distinguish is very human and very important. Any questions or comments on this blessing, this first blessing? Okay. Now, second. Blessed are you. I know everyone's quiet because they're waiting for number four. We'll okay. Next one. Blessed are you, Hashem, King of the universe. They all start with the same words. For not having made me a Gentile. You may be wondering why this blessing is in here. And the answer is that it's very simple. Nothing against Gentiles. I'll show you why. Because if you take a look at the next, we're going to do them all together, the next couple as well. Blessed are you, Hashem, the King of you, for not making me a slave. I have no issues with slaves. And the next one, men say this one, and women say that one. What do the men say? For not making me a woman. I've got nothing against women. So what are we referring to here in these blessings? Not a Gentile, not a slave, not a woman. Okay, the women say, we'll get to that momentarily. So the rabbis created these blessings to give us the awareness that in Jewish law, we know that there are many commandments. Men are required to fulfill all the commandments available. Women have a much lesser degree of requirement to fulfill commandments, as we talked about. Women do not have to do any commandments that are time sensitive. The Shema in the morning, even praying in the morning. Lulav, Sukkah, I mean, there are only certain time ones, like Shabbos is also, obviously it's a time one, but certain ones women are, and there's a reason for it, of the few, like for example, eating matzah on Pesach night, even though it is a time-bound mitzvah, women are obligated to eat matzah. Why it's a time-bound? One of the main reasons is because women were part of the miracle that took place. So therefore, that particular mitzvah women are required in. So because men have more requirements that they have to fulfill, women are a lesser degree. Slaves are even a lesser degree. And Gentiles only have 7. So therefore, the first blessing is, thank you, Hashem, that you have not made me a Gentile, that I have more than 7 commandments that I can fulfill. The second one is that you haven't made me a slave, because a slave is sort of finds itself in between that of a Gentile. And when it refers to a slave who lives in the Jewish master's home, then the slave actually has a few more requirements than the 7 living in the master's home. And then the woman is the next level from who has the greatest number of the 613 to fulfill, and the male is the one that has the complete requirement to fulfill all 613. So the level of the blessings that we are discussing here are really going chronological, I shouldn't say chronological, or in ascending order for how many mitzvahs does that group find themselves required to fulfill. The least are the Gentiles. The next level is the slave. The next level is the females. And the next level beyond that is the male. Questions, comments? Okay, I'll try and get to the first question first. Everybody good? No questions? Okay. Means you know it. Next. So let me just talk a little bit about this blessing, even though nobody asked. I'll ask the question. Question. Yes, what is your question? My question is, why is there a blessing about not making women or not having made me a woman? Why is that a blessing? So yes, it's true that we described that a male has more requirements than a female. So now the man goes, the question is, so if that's the case, look at the blessing on the women's side. What a beautiful blessing. Who created me according to his will. I'd like to say that blessing. So often in, especially for those who don't know, people think that traditional Judaism mocks or degrades, downplays women's role within, or that women are considered less than. And on the contrary, I just refer anybody who asks me a question that way to this particular blessing and say, who created, thanking Hashem for having made me according to his will. And I go, I wish I would see saying that blessing. Judaism recognizes women as equal partners in the world. There's no women only or man only that can create a child. It's a union of the two. There's no one that, well, is the male side more important than the women's side? You need them both. I mean, one's not going to happen. A baby's not going to happen without both of them available. So they're both, we're equal partners. It's unfortunate that women in society, and if it has nothing to do with Judaism, are sometimes either portrayed as less than or not equal in status, stature to men. That is totally not the case. Oh, but there's so many things that the man does in Judaism, but women don't do. Truth is, that is a class on its own, but it is Tuesday. But that is a little bit of a topic on its own. I'll just mention briefly. Yeah, because the men do the things that men are supposed to and are required to do. So, for example, in the synagogue, it's the man who's required to pray. Women are not, as we discussed before, women are not required to pray. So the man is going to be the one who should be leading this, the cantor, and the one who reads from the Torah. And anything prayer related should be to men. Very simple. Women felt less than, this is the holy, you know, egalitarian side of it, felt less than, and we also want to be a part of. And let me also get called up to the Torah, going, 1 second. You don't need that aliyah. You don't need that raising. Women have a certain stature on their own without having any requirements in that way. On the contrary, women who want to lead the service and women who want an aliyah are downgrading themselves. Women on that side of the mechitzah, we don't need to lead the service. We don't need an aliyah. We're already at that level. We already have that level. We already have that achievement. It's like I'm in grade 5 and you want to teach me 1 plus 1. I don't need to learn 1 plus 1. I'm in grade 5. So you got to do all the equations that, you got to do all the other work until the guys get up to grade 5. The women are already there. And people don't realize that. Yes, Stephanie.
Is there a time limit? Like for chakras, for instance, is there a time limit when it has to be said by?
Yes.
Like the end time?
Yes.
What is it?
It varies on the day, but let's just call it 1 p.m. Actually,
oh, you have to say it by 1 o'clock.
In the wintertime, it's earlier. In the wintertime, it'll be about 12:30. In the summertime, it'll be about an hour or so, about 1:30-ish.
And then Maariv.
Then Mincha, then afternoon.
Mincha,
which is afternoon. And Maariv is at night. Okay? So Shacharit is in the morning. Mincha is in the afternoon. Maariv is at night. Yes, Tracy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for asking, Stephanie. So, you know, what you just said about women is actually kind of, you know, a lot of people, I guess, who want to lead, you know, wear the talus and all of this kind of stuff, generally, they do it because they don't understand they haven't studied the Torah.
I mean, the women haven't studied the Torah.
Yeah, the women haven't studied the Torah. Because if they studied the Torah, they would understand that, or if they went to a class with the Rabbi Heshi, they would understand that we're already, like you said, we're already in grade, you know, we're already a couple of grades above you. So this is like, we're just, yeah.
Right.
I think what a lot of, never mind, that's another class. Never mind. Thank you for answering the question. I don't want to get off track.
No problem. Anyone else? Questions, comments? Everyone agrees? Don't be shy. Okay. So, this is the first area of where we find a difference in terms of what a man would say versus what a woman would say. Man will say, not having made me a woman. Women say, having made me according to his will. Okay, fair enough? Okay, moving right along. Next blessing. Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the universe, who gives sight to the blind. Now, these next ones also a little bit, if you want to call it in a series, there's a literal way of understanding it. And then there's a little bit that of beyond. So the literal way of understanding it is of the blind. My eyes were closed. Don't really see anywhere when you're sleeping. So now that I wake up, thank you, Hashem, that I can see. In a little bit of a different sense, it means that it becomes my responsibility that there's sometimes people who see, but who are technically blinded, even though I can see, but I don't want to see. I'll give you an example. One example is the alarm clock buzzes. I peer out of my covers, just a little peek. Oh, there's sunlight. Zoop, put the covers back on. Still dark. So some people want to just put the covers back on and not recognize that there's actually sunlight out there. And we thank Hashem for giving me the ability to see. It's now time to get up. It's now time to get on with my day. And during the day as well, that Hashem gives me the ability to see things and in a way to protect me from things that maybe I did not realize was actually harmful.
I gotta get to Africa.
And therefore, in that way, it makes it, incumbent upon me to try and look at things in a way that I can see them. So I thank Hashem to be able to see. Next one. Thank you, Hashem. Okay, who? The word who seems to be always the last word in the line. Then we go to who clothes the naked. I thank Hashem that I have clothes to put on my body. I try every so often to think the perspective of those who went through the Holocaust, where they did not have any clothes. I remember my mother, she describes plenty of times that they kept them naked. Didn't have anything, not even the pajamas. And thank God, we have clothes. Not only do I have clothes, I got designer clothes with labels. Let me see. Stacks, Harry Rose, you can give me some other names or whatever, what other names are out there. So this has neither of them. I remember probably one of the best things I ever got clothing-wise is before I got married, my father, Olav Shalom, took me in Montreal. Montreal was in a downtown area, was the center of all the manufacturing. So much of manufacturing came from Montreal, and there's still very little left. There's still some factories there, but so you go into a factory, I needed a winter coat. So I got a winter coat, and I look inside the winter coat, and it was Saks Fifth Avenue. And I thought, wow, it's good. So, and then I look on, and you see a big table, and it was a factory. Sewing machines and fabrics and this and that. So, and then I see on the side, there was a pile of labels on the side that says Saks Fifth Avenue. And in their coats, they, that's Saks. It's really made all in Montreal. Everything is made. So what label do you put on it? Do you want to put on a Saks? He asked me, do you want this label? Do you want that? The one I had, he says, do you want me to change the label for you on the coat? It was like the funniest thing. And I went many years later, many, many years. Actually, as a matter of fact, as recently as about 6 years ago, I wanted to, that coat is already a little passe. I still have it, front closet. It's a great coat, lasted me, lasted. It's just that it's out of style. My wife doesn't let me wear it. So very warm coat, extremely warm coat, Shabbos coat. And I went back and the company's closed. I mean, manufacturing has changed in Montreal. Most of those factories don't exist. But Moore's Clothing Company. It's all manufactured in Montreal, right down there. You just got to know where to go. Got to know the right guy to let you go. S. Cohen, which I think closed. Jack Victor. All these things are all made in Montreal. So we just got to know where to go. And so it's a label. It's a label. But we thank Hashem for clothing us. And like I was sort of got off on this little tangent. Not only thank Hashem for the clothing, but even for the better clothing that I have. I don't just have, you know, no-name clothing. I have clothing. Okay. Questions, comments? Okay, let's see a little more. Blessed are you, who releases the bound. Today, I went to visit our good friend, Arthur. I'd taken Baruch previously, others. Actually, I took Ari today. Ari to visit Arthur. As we all know, Arthur does not have the use of his arms and his legs. He wanted to welcome who I brought, you know, some other people that I brought with me. He has to take his hand to go like this to lift his hand so that you can put your hand in to say, so he can't lift his arms. He's got this one. Doesn't get out of his wheelchair. But Baruch Hashem, everyone here on this video call has the ability to walk. My back hurts and the, you know, little kvetch and the badads, but everybody's got a kvetch. Everyone's got a little, you know, a little crank here and there. But we thank Hashem who releases the bound. Now, this also has a little bit more of a meaning to it, that it can mean those who are in jail, those who are bound up in jail. Some people, like I said, are physically bound. Some people are mentally bound. And then this ties into the next one, which is the last one on our page, which is who straightens the bent, which again, meaning that I can stand, I have the ability to stand up and move around. So this is a section, 1, 2, 3, 4. So this is a section on its own. So we had the first one was about knowing the difference between day and night. Then the next three were a segment. That's the first four. And then these four are a segment. So we did 8 blessings. We covered 8 blessings. So these last four, the segment of these last four, where we talked about what gives the ability to see, to have clothes, releases the bound, that I have the ability to just come and go. I'm not stuck to my bed, and straightens the bent. I can stand up. Are things that it's very easy. It's very natural. Stand up. We get dressed in the morning. How often do we think, thank you, Hashem, for my clothes. Thank you, Hashem, for helping me. I can stand up today from bed. Got my feet and my slippers are right there, and everything's fine. Everything is working. Everything is perfect. I know I told this story. I think I told it here also, so I'll just say it quickly. I know I told it Wednesday morning at that meeting, but I think I said it here also, the story about the rabbi who was speaking to his son, came to visit him. So the rabbi says, why don't you ask me how my day was? He says, okay, daddy, how was your day? He says, oh, you don't want to know from my day. You know, when I woke up this morning, I wanted to get my shoes, and then I realized that my shoes weren't where they're supposed to be. Then I looked over and finally I found my shoes, and there were no shoelaces in the shoes. I had to go hunting, and the grandchildren took out my shoelaces from my shoes until I found my shoelaces and put them in my shoes. And then I went to the mikveh, and then when I went to the mikveh, I came out of the mikveh, my clothes were gone from the mikveh. Oh, and I had to have any clothes, somebody took my clothes. So the son was going, oh, what a terrible day. What did you do? He said, what did I do? I'll tell you what I did. I got out of bed in the morning. I put my feet in my slippers. I went and I got dressed. I found my shoes exactly where they're supposed to be. My shoelaces were in the shoes. I went to the mikveh. My clothes were right there at the mikveh. When I got out of the mikveh, everything was beautiful. But did I think of thanking Hashem that things are the way that they are? Or am I just constantly taking things for granted? So here are four beautiful blessings in the morning of things that we take for granted. Just giving up, moving, opening my eyes and being, oh, it's morning. Even though I wish it wasn't morning, I need a few more, but it's morning. Thank God I can see. I remember who it was. Somebody says, every time when I wake up in the morning, I move my arms up, make sure, am I touching wood? No, I'm not touching wood. Okay, it's a good start to the day. I don't remember who that was. Very cute. So I can get up. I'm free. I can straighten the back. I can stand up. Things that I take for granted. And this helps me. This teaches me. I mean, obviously for me, I've been doing this for a long time. This teaches me how to not just take things that Hashem has given me for granted, but I'm thanking Hashem every morning that I can get out of bed. Yes, Tracy.
Okay, so the difference between these and so Modeni is that we're thanking Hashem for returning our soul to us, but we haven't gotten out of bed yet. So I guess we could say thank you for opening my eyes right after Modeni. I'm not sure if we do that or not, but just because we have our soul returned to us doesn't mean that we're capable of getting out of bed.
That's correct.
Or standing up straight, or being able to see, or having clothes to put on, or nice clothes, or a choice of clothes, or things like that. So it's basically just the getting to exist another day on the earth is Modeni.
Correct.
Our soul is back. Everything else is a bonus.
Correct.
Got it.
And there actually, no, it's good, very good point. There are some that say that a person should say these blessings as you do the things in the morning. So when you stand up, you say the one of getting up. When you open your eyes, you say Paket. As you do them, you should say the blessing. But you haven't washed really. You haven't washed your hands yet, which whatever you talk about. So I actually say them as part of when I get to shul. I just say them all afterwards as part of the sidur in shul. Okay. But yes, it certainly could make sense to say the blessings as they come up in the day. Okay? Anyone else? Okay, let's move along. Next one, top of either 23 or 21. Blessed are you in the universe who spreads out the earth upon the waters. So in its simple version, simple meaning, it means that if you take a look, there's a little notation on the right side on either 20 or 22, on the right column, top of the right column beneath the line, who spreads out the earth upon the waters. Water tends to spread and flood everything in its path, while earth tends to sink beneath the surface of the water. God formed the earth so that it always remains always in place. Water is very transient. There's a flow of water. And unless you're have water in your cup, but very easy for it to be to move. And earth is much more solid. So we
talk, or a cistern.
Or a cistern, right. So we thank Hashem, who spreads out the earth upon the water, like I said, in a literal sense, and a little bit more in a figurative sense, that when the world was created, if we look back to the creation of the world, we will see that the world was initially completely water. That was Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 2, verse 2, Ruach Elokim, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. And the creation of our planet Earth was Hashem pulling back from the water and allowing earth or dry land to come up from the water. That's what it says in the Torah. I'm not saying anything, any Kabbalah or anything like this. This is Genesis 1:1. Creation of the world, day one of creation. Right. So in verse 2 is exactly what I told you, that the Ruach Elokim, the Spirit of Hashem, was sort of hovering on this water, on this body of water. And Hashem said, let there be light, and there was light. And in day 2, Hashem Vayom Elokim, Hashem said, Yihi Rakiya B'Seir HaMayim, there should be dryness. There should be a heaven in the water. And then it says that Hashem created in day 3, Yikavu HaMayim Mitachas HaShemayim B'Seir HaYabasha. So it was actually a 3-day process of creating earth itself. First, it was just water. And then there was pulled back from the water to make the heavens. And then pulling back more from the water to create dry land of which we can exist on. We're not fish, we're not amphibians, we don't survive in water. So Hashem gave us that ability. That's Hashem. So we thank Hashem in the morning that who continues that I have a world to go to. You imagine people who are, and the people who are in tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis, floods, all kinds of situations. And Baruch Hashem. And sometimes we get a flood, and that's, we discussed that at that time. But at least when things are good, I have a house, my house is above water, nothing, no issues. That is, who spreads out the earth upon the waters. When things are in my outside environment, the first blessings were about me, that I can see, that I can get up, that I can, now we have about the world. Okay? We have time for another? Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say real quick, you know, there's a lot of, I guess you call them, like when you say, you know, he doesn't know day from night, you know, like things like this, you know, it harkens back to that. Or you say, oh, I'm underwater, like I feel like I'm underwater, right? Which is you're flooded with whatever, or you're like all of these different kind of figures of speech, but they seem to come, you know, they reflect on this. So that's all. Just a thought.
Right. All right. So let's stop here. But what we basically, to me, what's very important as we go through is the fact that it's that the ability to discern the first blessing is really what it comes down to be able to know the difference. That's really what it is. And the wisdom to know the difference. That is this blessing that we say in the morning. To know the difference between day and night, and the wisdom to know the difference. Not everybody knows the difference, but we thank Hashem for that ability. See, serenity prayer, it's right here in Yom Sidur. All right, any final questions or comments? Okay, I want to thank everyone for joining. We are live tomorrow night in the office at 7:30 for a spiritual awakening. And barring any other questions or comments, Baruch is really happy. Baruch would like to see other people, and I think other people would like to see other people. So please make sure that other people come live.